This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Alan, back with another content warning. I didn't think this episode was so bad. Not sure what everybody's worried about, but it may not be your cup of tea. So listener discretion is advised.
I am on call for the city. So if anything major or significant arises, I'll have to excuse myself in the middle. So I apologize in advance.
I appreciate that. I also really appreciate you coming down here today and talking to us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So we're going to talk about, you know, what you have, what's been on record, and you know, you finally have the book, which is a
I do. It's it was a little trek trying to locate it. You know, from 1983, this book has been through several hands already.
This is Martin Moharo. He's a detective in the LAPD's homicide division. He's sitting across from Alan Sachs in a conference room back in 2018.
I was just having a difficult time locating the actual files, and simply because so many hands have touched it and so many detectives have looked at it, sometimes we lose track of where they actually leave it.
To me, this is, it's pretty emotional because, you know, I know Peter, but I also, you know the story, and the story is always, it's a story. But when I see this, and it says, Peter Ivers, murder book. That's real, man.
That's freaking real.
Alan's in shock. Since he became obsessed with Peter Ivers' death, one piece of the puzzle has been missing, this case file. The cops have labeled it the Peter Ivers murder book. How depressing is that? It's incredible that Detective Moharo even has it. The book has been missing for decades until somehow he found it.
So this contains the entire case, the entire investigation. Everything is documented.
Answers to all our questions about Peter's death could be in that book. But don't get too excited, because Detective Moharo won't let Alan see it. Peter's murder is still an open investigation. In fact, the LAPD reopened the case in 2008, thanks to author Josh Frank's book about Peter, In Heaven, Everything is Fine. Anyway, Detective Moharo has agreed to let Alan ask him some questions, like, did they find any prints at the crime scene?
There was a fingerprint investigation conducted, and that's typical of all homicides. That's one of the first things we do is, you know, try and fingerprint anything that looks obvious. I cannot say if we did or didn't find any, but we did follow up on that.
Oh, that's really helpful. Even though the case is an old one, there's still reason to believe it could be solved. A lot has changed in the years since Peter died. In 1983, DNA tests weren't widely available. They wouldn't be used in court until 1986. But Detective Moharo confirms that the investigators did eventually test evidence for DNA.
I could only say that we, in part of revisiting this case, that was part of the process, that we tested for DNA. Okay. I can't tell you what the results were yet, either way.
Then, before Alan can ask a follow-up question, Detective Moharo gets a call.
I apologize. I'm just going to return one message. I just got a call as we spoke. I'm just checking in.
Okay.
Oh, no. I do have to go. I apologize. So I will have to go. And okay. I apologize.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit short. There's been an officer-involved shooting. Hey, Greg, I just got the message. I apologize for that. Are you heading out there? Green Owens' mouth. Wow. Give me the cross again. Victory in Owen's mouth. All right, I appreciate it. All right, thanks, bye.
I guess this is how it is when you're a cop. One minute you're talking about a cold case, the next you're off on a hot one.
It's gonna be all over the news. There was a stolen car, a little chase, and the suspect and the officers shot it out. An officer was hit, but I think he may be okay.
Oh my gosh.
So that's why I gotta run out.
Yes. Okay. And he does. And unfortunately, he takes the case file with him, leaving Alan and us with that same old question. Who killed Peter Ivers? Without straight answers from the cops, a lot of theories have sprung up over the years about who might have killed Peter and why.
Peter had friends and some enemies in the punk scene, thanks to New Wave Theater. He had Hollywood and comedy friends and lots of women friends, some who were maybe more than friends. He had recently moved from the safety of Laurel Canyon to downtown Los Angeles. After Peter died, theories about what happened to him cropped up everywhere. The cops who investigated Peter's murder seemed to have concluded that Peter was just some poor, maybe queer, starving artist who lived in the wrong place and paid the price for it.
But there's more to the story. Money, drugs, robbery, love, heartbreak, jealousy, punks, sleazy Hollywood types, and Samoan drug gangs? Today we're going to run down the theories of the case, some wild and others that may hit closer to home. I'm Penelope Spheris, and this is Peter and the Acid King.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Peter was friends with a lot of Hollywood big shots, but he never really made it himself. Towards the end of his life, he struggled financially. One of the reasons he moved downtown was because of the cheap rent. Peter's money problems coincided with some other changes in his behavior. To some of Peter's closest friends, he seemed different, a little lost, and more into drugs. Here's John Leon, Peter's Harvard buddy.
He often came to my house, I mean, often, once a month, and, he'd get high and pass out, stuff like that. I was always worried about Peter in the last couple of years of his life because he was too high and he was hanging out with people that I didn't trust.
All of this leads to the first theory about why Peter might have been killed. I'll let Alan explain.
There was a rumor that Peter had gotten into dealing drugs, so some people speculated that he was killed over a drug debt. Allegedly, Peter's supplier was a gang from Northern California, and Peter's death was punishment for not paying up.
Among his other bad virtues was stiffing people on drug deals.
That's Ed Oakes. He's one of the people who believes the Samoan drug gang theory.
Peter owed $25,000 on a drug deal that went bad to a Samoan gang from Redwood City.
Some other people agree, like Peter Rafelson, although his version of the story is a bit different.
There was a rumor and a theory that Peter had been working with the Sikhs and doing one of the largest drug deals of the time with MDMA from up north. And I can't remember, he may have shown me a massive bag of pills at some point.
I definitely never saw Peter dealing pills or doing any hard drugs. Blow came out. I never saw Peter touch it. I did. Also, Samoan drug gang, Sikh drug gang, it doesn't make sense. Come on, take it all with a grain of salt.
Anyway, if you recall, the day before Peter died, he picked up a big check for a screenplay he wrote. He was going to use that money to pay off his debt. But then he left the money in Rafelson's car and lost it. That's what Rafelson says, anyway.
I didn't know the details, but something was going on. And potentially there was pressure to pay people money. And that money that he had, he was feeling probably very relieved that it could have saved his situation and maybe his life. And the day he gets it, and then he loses it, and then it's all goes downhill, and then the guy winds up dead that night. Like these things, I don't think these are all coincidences.
Part of the reason the drugs theory seems possible is because of where Peter was living when he died. Essentially, a squat, a loft downtown. Here's Gary Blasey, an expert of that time in downtown LA's history.
I would say in 1982, 83, there was really a real transition point in what was happening, particularly in Skid Row. So basically, the number of people on the streets really exploded in between 82 and 84. Tripled, quadrupled, something like that. And Skid Row was basically being populated from people who were driven out of South Central by the sort of economic disasters that had befallen the manufacturing industry in South LA. This also overlapped with the time that the crack cocaine epidemic was spreading. There were addicts on Skid Row, the alcoholics, you know, drug users of various kinds.
Either way, this is all speculation. Yeah, Peter liked to smoke pot, and maybe he was smoking too much, like John Leon said. But he wasn't known to do hard drugs. I never saw him do any. And there's little evidence that he was dealing, at least that we could find. But the location of Peter's loft near Skid Row leads us to the second theory about why Peter was killed. It's the theory the cops themselves eventually gravitated towards, which brings us back to Detective Mojarro. After he ran out on the first interview, Alan eventually tracked him down again. And Alan cuts right to the chase. After looking through all the evidence, what does the detective really think happened?
There is the belief was, and this is even part of the investigation that was conducted by the original investigators back in the 80s, that there may have been a connection between a serial burglar that was operating in that area and did fall to his death short distance from where Mr. Ivers was residing, where this crime scene occurred. So that was the belief.
The original theory from police is that a burglar broke into Peter's loft. Peter woke up, and the burglar killed him. They believe on the night of March 2nd, 1983, Peter came home after the fight with David Jove. He made a few phone calls, including to Lucy Fisher. At some point, he fell asleep in bed with his clothes on. Then, according to what Mojarro told me, a burglar broke in, killed Peter, and stole his audio equipment. Some people think this theory makes sense, like artist Stephen C. Meyer, who also lived downtown at the time.
I had heard, again, this is all secondhand. It's all, you know, it could all be BS. But from what I heard, that it was, apparently there was a building.
There was a building that used to be next to Peter's loft, but it had recently been torn down. And that left Peter's building more open and accessible.
And there was some train tracks between the building. And that building had just been raised, torn down. And the construction company hadn't put up a new cyclone security fence.
So now there's this empty construction site, and then there's the building where Peter's loft was, with the lights on late into the night. Maybe a good target for a desperate person.
For potential thieves, Peter's loft was a gold mine. Over the years of making his own music, Peter had amassed a fancy collection of studio recording equipment. Personally, when my other musician friends were running out of money, they would just sell their gear. But I guess Peter didn't do that. Anyway, it's all there in his loft, which people tended to randomly wander through.
I had heard that Peter Ivers' studio had such an encounter, and that someone had come up into the studio, and they had opened the door to the studio, and there's a guy standing right there, and they took off.
This incident concerned one of Peter's roommates enough that he installed a home security system, sorta.
And from what I heard, someone, I don't know if it was Peter or Peter Taylor, who was a roommate of Peter Ivers, decided that, I've got a circus mallet. Maybe we should keep it here and lean it up in the kitchen here, in the corner, as for defense.
This is the mallet that most people suspect was the murder weapon. And it was just sitting there in the loft, and a burglar could have easily picked it up. Not a bad theory, right? But there's one problem. The burglar, the cops think, may have broken into Peter's place and killed him. He died. Apparently, he fell off a catwalk a week after Peter's death.
Detective Mojarro showed me a picture
of the burglar laying dead on the floor. He fell off the catwalk, and he's laying spread eagle in a pool of blood, dead. And Maharo said, "We think this is the guy that killed Peter." They thought he was the suspect because he was supposedly committing a lot of burglaries in the area. But, you know, I don't know if I believe that. I think they may have just wanted to wash their hands. Case over. We don't have to deal with this bullshit anymore.
Was he the same person who supposedly broke into Peter's loft? No one can say for sure, but it's good enough for the cops.
So that was the belief then, just based on a certain, I can't get into the details, but based on certain circumstances involving, I tend to sort of agree with the original investigators.
Could it have possibly been a random burglary? Maybe. But there's another theory. What if it was someone who had a vendetta against Peter? Could it have possibly been someone in the scene? Peter's annoying behavior on New Wave Theater did piss off a lot of people. There was one dude in particular that some people have pointed to as a possible suspect, a bouncer at the Zero. His street name was Earwig.
Earwig, a.k.a. Earache, a.k.a. Eric or Quake. A lot of names for one giant, scary guy. He had platinum blonde hair, shaved on the sides, had a completely neo-Nazi vibe about him.
Tequila Mockingbird didn't trust the guy either.
That guy was a white supremacist, and he didn't like Jews. I'm not going to hang out with white supremacists, and I don't like drug addicts.
Other people had a lot to say about this upstanding citizen.
I know that he was a rapist because he definitely tried to rape other girls that we were mutually dating. I think he got away with that a lot. So I know for a fact he was sexually abusive and violent when he got hot.
He looked like Frankenstein and Rutger Hauer's baby.
He just seemed like someone who could slit your throat for the fun of it.
He had "Keep on Sucking" tattooed on his stomach.
That last voice you heard is Bob Forrest, a street punk turned addiction counselor. He's talking to Alan Sachs about Earwig.
I knew him very, very well. One time, like when we were kids, like we would buy speed from him. He had this rehearsal studio on Highland and Yucca or whatever, Highland and Yucca.
Bob and his friends would buy whatever they could get their hands on from Earwig. Speed, coke, heroin, you get the point.
And then me and Anthony Flea lived at Hollywood Boulevard and Whitley.
That's right. When you were in Scientology.
So we had to take the drugs across where there's cops everywhere and drugs were really illegal. So we started asking him if we could do it there. And I remember he very specifically said, "Yeah, you can do it here, but if you go out, I'm not resuscitating you. I don't give a fuck. I'm putting you in a shopping cart and I'll push you up on Hollywood Boulevard."
The thing is, I had heard that the reason that Earache killed Peter was because what he said was that he was a crazy faggot and he was giving punk rock a bad name. And nothing could be further than from the truth.
A violent, homophobic neo-Nazi certainly sounds like an easy murder suspect. But as it turns out, this theory is only about as credible as the burglar theory.
It's a lot of conjecture, fucking storytelling. Also, I don't want to get too gory, but I just want to say that Peter was bludgeoned to death with a mallet, and this is an intense way to kill someone. Think about it. The killer would have to get really close to the victim, which means that the victim either trusted the person or it was a surprise attack.
This brings us to the next theory. Could it have been a crime of passion? Peter was a charmer and really good looking. People were drawn to him, women in particular. Or as Tequila puts it,
Peter was Mr. Kundalini Yoga sex god. So he had all these women losing their minds over him.
And I don't know whether my mom had an affair with Ivers or what their relationship was.
That's Peter Rafelson again. Peter Ivers actually met him through Rafelson's mom.
As I recall, we used to go to Dupar's at the farmer's market on Sundays. I always wondered exactly what the relationship to my mother was, and that leaves some imagination. But certainly, he was a regular.
Peter was messing around with many, many women in the Beverly Hills area, and their husbands might not have liked what Peter was doing.
So maybe Peter had lots of lovers, but one alleged relationship stands out.
For years, nobody ever asked me, and I never said anything about the whole relationship that Peter had with Ann Ramos.
I was a little annoyed with Peter because he was sleeping with a married woman. Oh, my God. He was sleeping with Harold Ramis's wife, and I was like, oh, my God, what if he finds out?
Alan Sachs actually had the nerve to ask Ann about this when he interviewed her a couple years ago.
Were you involved romantically with Peter?
I don't know what to say about that. I feel like our relationship was really our personal, you know, thing. And I think he was so wonderful. And I had a great appreciation for him. I don't really want to answer that question.
Okay. Yeah. I understand.
Whether they were romantic or not, Peter and Ann were certainly very close. According to Rod Falconer, sometimes Peter felt guilty about his closeness with Ann. He was Harold's friend, after all.
Peter was not happy with it. He felt bad about that. He liked Harold. Harold Ramis was helping Peter. He was giving him financing for Vitamin Pink. So that made Peter feel Peter was a very conscionable person. And he felt very uncomfortable.
Harold loved Peter too, and even supported him artistically and financially. Rod said that Peter felt torn between his feelings for Anne and his loyalty to her husband.
He just didn't want to be having an affair, you know, because this was a close friend of his. And more than just a friend, I mean, you know, someone who believed in him and so forth, which is hard to come by in this world.
After Peter died, Rafelson was looking around in his car and says he found Peter's day planner. It was under the seat where Peter had allegedly tucked the money he lost.
When I went and I found this binder, which I think was in my car, the day planner, somebody who told me said, oh my God, do not, whatever you do, do not give that to the police. You cannot let anybody see this. Why?
The planner tracked Peter's life, who he spent his time with, and what he did every day. If Peter was having an affair with someone, the evidence for that could have been in his planner.
Because it was maybe where all the dead bodies were buried, so to speak, where all of the numbers, where all of the information, where all of the fucking affairs and secrets were kept.
It was part diary, part calendar, and part phone book.
Somebody had told me, it may have been her.
By her, he's referring to Ann Ramis.
Do not, whatever you do, whatever they say, you don't know anything. Like, they were literally telling me to essentially hide, prevent as evidence of anything.
But even if Rafelson hid the planner, it was too late. Peter's escapades were in plain sight. The cops thought Harold was a crazed, jealous husband who killed his wife's lover. Common motive. But the cops questioned Harold and then released him soon after. And all they probably learned from the interview is that Harold, like the rest of us, adored Peter. I mean, a couple of months after Peter died, Harold used his song, Little Boy Sweet, in the soundtrack for National Lampoon's Vacation.
Whatever might have transpired between Peter and the women of Hollywood, the crime of passion theory didn't hold the police's attention for long. Of all the theories, A drug deal gone wrong? A pissed off punk? A botched robbery? Or a jealous husband? The cops felt robbery was the most plausible explanation. And that was their explanation when they set the case aside. But to all of us, that theory felt very flimsy.
I don't think that this was some random thing. I think that there was probably some illicit business, and it went bad.
I have to say that to this day, it really, really bothers me that this is an unsolved case. I don't get it. It kills me that somebody's out there or was out there. maybe they're gone now. I don't know. That took his life.
Lucy Fisher, Peter's longtime girlfriend, felt the same way. It's part of why she hired a PI to look into his murder. Unfortunately, that PI has since passed away, so we don't know what he learned about Peter's death. There is, of course, one last theory that we haven't talked about, one that, as far as we know, the cops never fully explored. Could it be David Jove that killed Peter?
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What a play. What a trip. What a dip in the unknown. On behalf of our producer, All World Stage, this is your all-too-human host, Harbor Boy Ivers, wishing you a hostile honeymoon in the hermitage of Harpocrates.
That's episode 25 of New Wave Theater. It's Peter's last monologue. After he recorded the episode, Peter quit New Wave Theater and had that blowout fight with David Jove. A few hours later, he was found dead. And David's behavior after Peter's death was, well, pretty fucking strange.
Even after Peter died, every time I'd see him, he'd be like...
Here's Tequila Mockingbird talking with Alan Sachs.
And I got a phone call saying, you're next. And I said, come on over. I'm waiting for you.
That's what he said?
Yes, I did.
When he said, you're next, was he implying that there was...
The New Wave Theater murders!
That everybody involved in the show was going to be murdered.
That's what his little shtick was, and we hated him.
But that wasn't even the strangest thing David did in the days after Peter's murder. Earlier, we spoke about the crime scene. It was a total madhouse. People were wandering in and out, and some of his stuff went missing. Coincidentally, after that awful day, visitors to David Jove's cave saw two new items amongst the Crowley books and pentagrams. First, a pink sequin jacket, the one Peter wore on New Wave Theater. David claimed Peter gave it to him. Tequila, she calls bullshit.
Peter would have never let him have that jacket. Never, because that was his favorite jacket. So that was like super sketchy to me, because there's no way that he would have ever given him that.
And the other item that made its way to the cave? The blanket covering Peter's body. Ken Dow remembers seeing it. He was a regular at the cave, and Jove took a liking to him quickly because of Ken's curiosity about, you guessed it, the occult.
He was a chaos magician. He was in love with Aleister Crowley and all of that kind of occult stuff. What he liked to do was sort of blow people's minds, do something that seemed magical.
Sometime after Peter died, Ken was hanging out there with Jove.
We were talking about Peter, and he said, I need to show you something.
David's surprise for Ken is on the second floor. So David pulls down the ladder into the upper level to retrieve it.
Anyway, and he went, you know, pulled the thing down. It was always like you had to pull a ladder down to get up in there. So he pulled it down and he got up, went up in the, and just like leaned out to the thing and poked the blanket down at me and said, this is it. This is the blanket I got from Peter's bed that day. And I could see blood, dried blood on it. It's brown and was like weeping with tears. And this is his blanket. This is the blanket I got from Peter. This is his blanket and I sleep with it every night.
Jove's daughter, Lily Hayden, corroborated Ken's story on a podcast called Rarified Air. Here's a clip.
My dad slept with Peter's bloody blanket that he had been bludgeoned to death on. My dad slept with that bloody blanket for the rest of his life.
I don't remember anything that happened after that moment. I don't. Why had the thought never occurred to me? Oh my God, that's evidence that the cops need. And I could have gone to the cops and said, hey, this guy, I don't know if he did it or what, but he's got this blanket. It never even occurred to me to go tell the cops this.
Some might say the cops should have looked at the guy who had just been professionally dumped by the victim, who was obsessed with death and known for violent outbursts, and who people say cozied up with Peter's bloody blanket. How creepy is that? And some might say the person who killed Peter Ivers could have been the guy with the most to lose. So, was it David Jove? Could it have been the Acid King? That's coming up next time. Until then, see ya. Peter and the Acid King is based on interviews recorded and researched by Alan Sachs. It's produced by Imagine Audio, Alan Sachs Productions, and Awfully Nice for iHeartMedia. I'm your host, Penelope Spheris. The series is written by Caitlin Fontana. Peter and the Acid King is produced by Amber Von Schassen. The senior producer is Caitlin Fontana. and the supervising producer is John Asante. Our project manager is Katie Hodges. Our executive producers are Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, Cara Welker, Nathan Clokey, Alan Sachs, Jesse Burton, and Katie Hodges. The associate producers are Laura Schwartz, Dylan Kainrich, and Chris Statue. Co-producer on behalf of Shout Studios, Bob Emmer. Sound design and mix by Evan Arnett. Fact-checking by Catherine Barner. Original music composed by Alloy Trax. Music clearances by Barbara Hall. Voiceover recording by Voice Trax West. Show artwork by Michael Dare. Special thanks to Annette Van Duren. Thank you for listening.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.